Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Election Day meets Sandy recovery. And just for a little comic relief, because we all need comic relief, as I said before, even in the midst of all this. Did you see Saturday Night Live this weekend where they had a Bloomberg Christie news conference to start the show? What did you say, Governor?
Also, I would like to give a sincere thanks to President Obama for how he handled the situation. On Election Day, I'm voting for Mitt Romney, but if I had to pick one guy to have my back in a crisis, it would be Barack Obama. He's been amazing. You know, so kind, such a leader, a true inspiration. Again, I'll be a good soldier, I'll vote for Romney, but I'm gonna hate it.
Bobby Moynihan as Chris Christie on Saturday Night Live. Let's talk about how the way we vote is being affected by the storm. Yesterday in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg announced that approximately 143,000 voters are not going to be able to get to their regular polling place. Parts of New Jersey hit, obviously, and the Garden State is experimenting with a plan that is somewhat unprecedented for the general public, voting by email. WNYC's Anna Sale has been reporting on the last-minute voting changes in the region. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
And Larry Norden is with us from the Brennan Center at New York University. He always has his eye on voting developments around the country. And, Larry, I guess you were watching those pictures of long early voting lines in Florida and Ohio yesterday, huh?
Yeah, sure. I certainly was.
So, Anna, which parts of the region are going to have their voting affected tomorrow?
Well, what we've seen is it's changing because the number of polling places that have had to be moved is reducing as different cities come back online, as power is restored. So clearly the parts of the state that are most affected are those that were hardest hit by the storm. And so that's why the state has implemented these new measures to try to help displaced voters cast their ballots. And as you mentioned, there's this new rule that was announced over the weekend that the state is going to allow displaced voters and first responders to vote by email. This is a system that New Jersey has used with some of their residents who are serving the military overseas. And how it's going to work is each voter, even if you're out of the state or in a different part of the state than your home polling place, send an email to your county clerk's office, and then they send you back a ballot once they kind of, you have to go through an application, then they send you back a ballot. Then you have to print the ballot, fill it out, and then either scan or fax it back. So it's not something you can do from your phone. It's not something you can just click. It's a more involved process than that. Some emails going back and forth. And you also have to sign a waiver of secrecy because when you're sending your vote by email, they're going to know how you voted.
So there's an issue there for people who don't have scanners or a fax machine, right? And we've posted some links to online fax services and scanners, seriously, that you can install even on your smartphone. So if you have other options, let us know in our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But as you just heard from Anna, you kind of need a fax machine or a scanner to make this email voting work. But there are also, and they're not, you know, all that well known or well disseminated, but there are some fax and scanner apps that you can install on your smartphone. So if you want to go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, you can get some information on that. Larry Norden, how does this experiment look to you at Brennan?
Well, I want to make a quick point about that. The email and fax voting has gotten so much publicity. In fact, I think there's a more important directive that's out there that has gotten less attention because I suppose it's less novel, but it is probably going to be much more important for most people, which is that if you're displaced, if you are displaced or you're a first responder, you can vote at any polling place in New Jersey and get a provisional ballot. And that provisional ballot will count for all the contests you are entitled to vote in. A lot of people, obviously a lot of people are without power, so email, fax voting is not going to help them. And then there are the additional complications that you were just talking about. And I do think it's important for people to know if they're located elsewhere in New Jersey, if they had to move because of the storm, they can just show up at any polling place and they'll be able to cast a ballot, certainly for president, for senator, and have their votes counted for other contests as well.
By the way, there was a little confusion early in the show about some of the ballot, some of the voting places in Staten Island that are going to be used, and I think we can clear that up now, thanks to the WNYC news team. So if you usually vote at the Staten Island Academy, 715 Tote Hill Road, you now vote at the Michael Petridis School, Building K, 715 Ocean Terrace, for this election. And if you usually vote at the Susan E. Wagner High School, 50 Brielle Avenue, then you will vote at the College of Staten Island Sports and Recreation Center, the gym, 2800 Victory Boulevard. So there you go for those two particular Staten Island polling place moves for tomorrow. And Anna, there's nothing as, you know, kind of edgy as this email voting for the districts affected in New York State. And I don't think there's anything as expansive for New Yorkers displaced that was as what Larry was just describing for New Jerseyans, where first responders or anybody displaced can cast provisional ballots almost anywhere.
Well, that's right. And that's because there's still a real need in New Jersey. In New York City, they're talking about the number of polling places that had to be moved. They're publicizing that number somewhere around 60. In New Jersey, when I talked to the spokesman for the Department of State this morning, the number they're talking about is the number of polling places they still don't have a plan for. So over the weekend, some 500 polling places got consolidated or brought back online with electricity. They still have over 300 polling sites that they're still trying to figure out. So that means, are we going to bring in a bus where people could vote? Are we going to have to erect a tent where people could vote? Is there a way we can consolidate it with other polling places? So there's still a real need for communities that to be served by polling places. The state is working with the county and local offices to figure that out very quickly. But that's right. That's why this provisional ballot measure is really important, that you can go anywhere in the state of New Jersey as a displaced voter and cast your ballot in statewide elections.
Larry, while you're here, want to talk a little bit about voting around the country. Usually the lawyers don't come out until after the election, but already in Florida yesterday there were lawsuits about early voting access.
Yeah, and we've got lawsuits in Ohio, of course, as well. Look, unfortunately, Florida reduced its early voting days, so did Ohio. In the case of Florida, from 14 days down to 8. A lot of us warned that this could result in ridiculously long lines, and that seems to be what has happened in some parts of Florida, people waiting for several hours to vote. And obviously, for many people, that means that they may not get a chance to vote. So there is a lawsuit by the Democratic Party now to extend the early voting hours. The truth of the matter is, there was a big attempt around the country to roll back voting rights. In most cases, those laws were blocked, but this is one case where it wasn't, and we're seeing some of the consequences now in Florida.
In other words, this is not a result of Sandy. This is a change in the law that reduced the number of early voting days in Florida from 14 to 8 this year. But if there was just a lawsuit filed over the weekend, I mean, it's already the day before the election. This is the last day of early voting. What could this lawsuit change for this election?
Well, what it could do is extend the hours that exist
for today
for early voting.
Okay.
And so, you know, there were people who weren't able to vote on Friday and Saturday. So they at least may have more of an opportunity to vote.
And of course,
today and maybe tomorrow.
The reason, tell me if you disagree, but I think the reason that this matters the most is not for the inconvenience of people having to wait on long lines, but for the fact that many people can't wait on an hour and a half line or whatever it is to vote, and so they don't vote, so people get effectively disenfranchised by this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this has been demonstrated in studies that happens, and in fact, we saw it in Florida when you have a seven-hour line. People have kids, they have work, and it's not realistic to expect them to be waiting so long.
And I heard, Anna, that some people were waiting in lines in New Jersey to vote at county offices over the weekend. Did you see it? Have you reported on it?
I did. I was in Hudson County, Jersey City, over the weekend, and there was a line that was forming. This is in New Jersey through today, through 4:30 today. You can go to your local county clerk's office or your local election offices and cast an early ballot. So that is still available in New Jersey as well if you're able to get to these local offices. So over the weekend in Jersey City, these county clerk's offices. Hallways were filling up. People were coming over on Saturday. People who didn't have power, people who had been staying in Manhattan, made the trip over to make sure they could vote. But for the most part, it didn't stretch over an hour. It was, a half hour to an hour that folks were hanging around. But people were in pretty relaxed spirits over the weekend, given that it was a Saturday when I was there. And people were, more than anything, relieved that they'd figured out how to get to vote.
And it shows the determination of people to exercise their rights in our democracy when, even in the face of this, they're willing to go and stand online over the weekend to cast their ballots in New Jersey. So WNYC's Anna Sale and Larry Norden from the Brennan Center at NYU, thank you. And listeners, be sure to check out our website. We've got links to Anna's fabulous guide to voting, links to websites where you can find your polling place, and that is up to the minute, and information for New Jersey residents who may need to vote by email. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Larry, real quick.
Real quick, 866 our vote. There's going to be, unfortunately, still changes happening. If people in New York, New Jersey want to get information about where they vote, how they can vote in this post-Sandy situation, 866 our vote is a nonpartisan election protection hotline that people can get information from.
Thank you, and I'll throw in that in New York, you can get information about your polling place by texting NYC votes to 877-877. Spanish speakers can text Donde to 877-877. New Jersey voters can text Where to 877-877. So again, that's how you can find out your new polling place via text, NYC votes or Donde in New York. And in New Jersey, it's the word Where to the same text number 877-877.